Every so often, they keep on printing articles in the newspapers that the archaeologists discovered in Mexico footsteps from 50,000 years ago. Obviously, there were people living there all over the world. There's a problem of the age of the earth. According to the Chumash, the earth is the world is not so old. It's only less than 6,000 years old. So it's a good question. So the different suggestions are given. So the Midrashim speak about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Borei Olamos HaMachrivam. You interpret Psukim like that, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu first created a world, and then he decided he doesn't like it, he destroyed it, then he created a new world, then he decided he doesn't like that, and they created another world. It's a pella, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create a world that he's not happy with? See, people, human beings, we have chalamas. We dream, going to marry a girl who's going to look like this, and we're going to live in a beautiful home on a river, and it's going to be beautiful, we're going to have so many children, we're going to be rich and everything. And it doesn't always happen like that. The girl that I married doesn't look like the girl that I dreamt about, and the house doesn't look like that, and the children are not the same, everything is not the same. So by human beings, we have plans, we have chalamas, and it doesn't always turn out like that. So when it turns out good, so we say, Tov, it turned out good. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, unless we said it. Says, Vayar Elokim Ki Tov. So the Rabbani asked on Chumash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just his rotzen, if he, Vayar Elokim Ki Tov, Vayar Elokim Ki Tov, Rakiya B'Sech HaMam, whatever he wants, that's what's going to happen. So if he wants a nice world, there's going to come out a nice world. It's not that he had a havam and he wanted a world and he was unhappy and then he had to destroy it, make it again. It doesn't make any sense. So the Rabban talks about that. What does it mean, Ki Tov? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is passing judgment on the world that is good. If he wanted it to be a nice world, it's going to be nice. If he wanted it to look ugly, it's going to look ugly. Whatever he wants, that's what's going to be. So how can it be, after he created every day something else, he passes a judgment and he says, oh, Ayar Lekim Ki Tov. Turned out good. What do you mean? Of course it turned out good. If he wanted it to be ugly, it would have been ugly. So the Ramban explains, Ayar Lekim Ki Tov means HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressed the rots and everything should remain. That's what the Baal HaTanya explains in the second section in the Tanya. That's called the Shah HaYichud B'Ho HaAmunah. It could well be that was written before the first section in the Tanya, historically, chronologically. But he explains that he quotes from the Baal Shem Tov that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created the Yesh Me'ayin. So he made a miracle and everything came into existence. So the second the Ratzon Hashem ceases, the thing should flop back into non-existence. So you need a Ratzon Hashem that everything should remain in the same state. So the Baal Shem Tov interpreted Psukim in Tanakh that are referring to that, the continued Ratzon Hashem, that everything should remain like that. And Ramban interprets that that's what that means, Vayar Elokim Ki Tov. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking in retrospect and judging that it's a nice world. Hey, it came out good. Nice. No, of course, if he wanted it to be nice, maybe Vayar Elokim Ki Tov, that was a tzivoy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything should continue to exist. So we don't understand what it meant. It was Borei Olamos HaMachrivam. He created the Midrash and I have Psukim like that. He created a world and he said he's not happy. He destroyed it, then he created another world, not happy with that. He destroyed it, created a third world. If he wanted it to be a nice world, it would have been nice. If he wants it to be ugly, it's going to be ugly. What it meant, he created, and he said, Dein lo hanyali. He's not happy with that. What it mean, not happy. The Midrashim don't explain. Rav Soloveitchik was once giving, he used to, every year for many years, he gave a major drasha and a series of mechuvah. That used to be the meaning in Europe. All the rabbanim gave major drashas and a series of mechuvah. They used to give drashas on Zion Odor, Moshav Menas Yard Zion. Many occasions, I know somehow in America it was lost, so Rav Soloveitchik reintroduced it, a drasha and a series of mechuvah. Then after Rav Soloveitchik discontinued, and every Tom, Dick, and Harry started giving a kinas chuvah. But in Europe, that was the practice. Rav Soloveitchik one year suggested, maybe pshat is like it says in Bereishis, what it means, Vayinafash, because Bohu was relaxing on Shabbos. He worked so hard in the Sheshis, made Bereishis, he had to relax. It doesn't make sense, Vayinafash. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash Rabbah, Hichtiv b'yatzma menucha. He told Moshe Rabbeinu, he dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, write that I relaxed on Shabbos. It's not true. He didn't work hard. He didn't have to work. He wasn't exhausted from creating everything. Everything came into existence through the pure Ratzon Hashem. He didn't have to work. We say in Akdamas, Belo Leu Shachla Le, Belo Tishi Shusa. He didn't have to work hard to create the world. So what does it mean? Vayina Fash. Hichtav Yatzma Menucha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, right. He told Moshe Rabbeinu, right, that I rested on Shabbos. It's not a lie, but it's not true either. It's a Hichtav Yatzma Menucha. He dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, right, Menucha, that human beings should learn from me that they shouldn't become workaholics. A lot of people are just all day and all night, they're all working to make more money. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote about himself that he rested on Shabbos, even though it's not exactly true. It means that he didn't create Yesh Me'ayin anymore. Yichta B'yatzma Menucha, to teach us the lesson that we shouldn't become workaholics. Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe that's why Yichta B'yatzma, maybe that's why he had the Nevi'im bright in different places in Tanakh, that he was buried alone as a machrivan. The human being shouldn't think that once you, a lot of people, later in life, they realize that they chose the wrong Bahalach, that everything they did was a waste and the whole life was a wasted life. If they married the wrong girl and they went into the wrong field and they cheated in business, whatever, everything they did was improper. So they shouldn't think that since the whole life was a failure, so the whole life was a waste. No, they can do tshuva. I created a world and it was no good, and I destroyed it, and I created another one that was no good. I created a third world. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo, we don't know exactly what it means, but Hichta V'Atzmo, he told the Nevi'im, they should write about him, that he was Borei Olam Machrivan, that we should realize that if we failed the first time around, we can always do tshuva and do things better. And even if you failed the second time and the third time, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is Borei Olam Machrivan, one after the other. So that's what some suggest, and maybe all of these the things from 60,000 years ago, the footprints from human beings and paintings in Mexico and all over the world, maybe that was the first Mahadura Rishayna. And then when he destroyed everything, not that he was Machzor everything back la'ayin, and he created again Yesh Me'ayin. Maybe he recreated everything the second time on this earth, on this globe. Maybe that's what all these things are, all the things that they find. I remember when I was in elementary school, there used to be a riddle that they used to ask the children to see how sharp they are. So they said the archaeologists were digging near the Nile River in Egypt, and they found the bones from 3,000 years ago, bones of 7 cows. So they want to know, do you think these are the bones from the fat cows or the skinny cows? So the sharp children would say, these must be the bones from the skinny cows because the skinny cows followed up the fat cows. The correct answer is, the whole thing was a chaloyim paro. There were no bones. It's not true. There aren't. The bones that they found have nothing to do with chaloyim paro. That didn't exist. So that we know that didn't exist. Other things we know did exist. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were real people. The Rajbo has a tshuva where he's complaining that so many Jewish scholars are studying more in the Ruchim. The Rajbo was, they were all correspond. All the Rishonim were corresponding with each other. When some of the Balei HaTos made a cherem against reading the Moreh Nevuchim, a cherem against studying philosophy. So the Rajbo complains that when they were studying Greek philosophy, so they were abstracting everything and philosophizing about everything and conceptualizing everything. So many of them came to the conclusion that Avraham and Yaakov didn't really exist, they were concepts. Avraham is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gvura, and Yaakov is Teferes, Emes, whatever, everything is a concept, but they didn't really exist. So the Rashba says that that's not true. They say it's Apikursa, they just said that's not true. We have a tradition that these were real people. We say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Noah, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. They were real people. Now, because Bochum made a bris with Avraham, and with Yitzchak, and Yaakov, these were real people. Moshe Rabbeinu was a real person. Some things we know didn't exist. The cows, the fat cows, it didn't exist. And other things we have a tradition that absolutely did exist. Other things we're not too sure. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that the different things were created. Erev Shabbos, Bein Hashmashos, and Sheshes, Mei Bereishis. So, Pi Ha'osayin, the donkey that spoke to Bilam was created Erev Shabbos. So the Mishnah assumes that it was a real thing, that it really was an awesome, there was a mule that spoke. The Rambam understood that it was a chaloim, that it never really happened. So the Rambam is against the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Or the Chumash sounds like it says that Yaakov Avinu had a fight with the Malach, and the Malach broke his leg, and he was limping. So the Rambam writes that it was all a chaloim. So the Ramban of Chumash quotes the Rambam, says it was a chaloim. When he woke up, why was he limping? If nobody really broke his leg, it really happened. So the Ritva has a whole small sefer to defend the Rambam and the Mor and the Buchum from the kashas that the Ramban of Chumash has. So he says sometimes there's a psychosomatic sickness, because you had a scary dream. You dreamt about a malach breaking a leg, so you wake up in the morning, you're limping. But he never really fought with the malach, and the Ramban thinks that it's not so. And some things were not sure. The Pashtus is the story of Eov, that it really happened. So in the end of the first parak in Bava Basra, the Gemara talks about the Chof Dalet Svarim in the Tanakh. So one Tana is of the opinion that the Eov is a novel. Never happened. He never was a real person. It was a novel that was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. And others think, no, it was not a novel. It really happened. It really was a person whose name was Eov, and these were really friends that he had. The story of the Mabul. So people ask, how can it be? There isn't so much water in the whole wide world. The Tanoim knew that there's a water cycle. The water comes down and it evaporates, goes back up, then it comes down, goes back up. The first perek in Maseches Tainis. There isn't so much water in the whole wide world that we should go 15 amas above the highest mountain. That's impossible. So the Pashtus says that it was a miracle. The Chazal say that the Gemara says in Perek Chelek, and the last Perek in Sanhedrin, that the Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was already from day number one, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world, Eretz Yisrael was already had a special status. That's what the Psukim by Yosef and the brothers, when the brothers are shuffling back and forth between Mitzrayim and Eretz Canaan. So when they go to Eretz Canaan, it says, Vayala v'acha Yosef asor. They went back there, what's called Aliyah. And when they went to Mitzrayim, it said, Vayered v'acha Yosef. So when you go to Chutzlo, it's called Yerida. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, that's called Aliyah. That's a joke that they used to say years ago, that the elevator stopped in the Jewish Agency building in Manhattan, and the elevator door opened on the 10th floor, so someone asked, Sata ole o yoreid. Means, are you going up, are you going down? So the guy says, Anish Aliyah. Although you're right, you're going to Eretz Yisrael. Did you come from Eretz Yisrael to America? You're going and says, I'm a Shaliach. I can live in America forever. I'm a Shaliach. The one who's a Shaliach for Aliyah can live in America forever. The Zionists. The Zionists are the ones who live in America, and they talk about Eretz Yisrael. A Zionist means you live in Eretz Yisrael. An Ola means a guy who lives in Eretz Yisrael. So the... So the problem is, the Gemara says, why is it called Aliyah when you go to Eretz Yisrael? Because Eretz Yisrael Gevoyim Mikol Harot. Eretz Yisrael is higher than the other country. Higher what? Higher above sea level than the Swiss Alps. Higher than all of Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean Eretz Yisrael is higher? Then the Gemara says on the Pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, it says, Ki Polimim Chadov Al Amishpa Bein Dam Nedam Bein Din Nedin Bein Nega Lenega Dibei Rivis Pisharech Vabi Amachloikis among the Rabbanim. And there'll be friction in the community because there's a conflict out of Pascha and the Shiloh. So it says, if it's not causing conflict in one community in Europe, they didn't have telephones. So one community, they Pascha in one way, the other community, they Pascha in the other way. You don't have to call up Rabbi Chaim Oizan on every Shiloh and ask what he says. Every rabbi, Tamid HaChacham, each community did differently. But if it's causing friction in the community, then you have no choice. Then it says you have to go to Yerushalayim and ask the Bezna Godel. They're located in the Lishkas Avgaz and whatever they pass, and everybody has to follow, and that's the din of Zokan Mamre. So it says there, the Kamto Yalisa Alamokim, wherever you live in Eretz Yisrael, you should go up to Yerushalayim. So apparently, Yerushalayim Gavoyim, they call Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim is a higher elevation than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So Yerushalayim is himself Lord, it's on mountain tops. It's on mountains, but is it true? Is it the highest elevation in Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara says that it's not. The Gemara says David HaMelech was considering, every time David HaMelech was victorious in battle, he would designate the gold and the silver and the copper, all the precious metals. He would be makdish everything for the Beis HaMikdash. Then after many years of conquering and being makdish all of this raw material, he wanted Lamaisa to build the Beis HaMikdash. So the din is that the Talmid Chacham have to figure out on their own where they think is the correct place to build it. And then, L'shicht and Siddush Udrosh Alpi Navi, then you have to consult a Navi whether what you worked out is correct. So he thought he's going to build a Beis HaMikdash in Ein Etam. Ein Etam is the highest location in Eretz Yisrael, higher than Yerushalayim. And then the Navi told him, no, you shouldn't build a Beis HaMikdash there, you should build it in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says that Ein Etam is higher than Yerushalayim. So how does this Gemara say that Yerushalayim Gavai Mekal Eretz Yisrael, because it's Vekam Tobi Alisa Lamokim? So the Balamor, we spoke about it already, so the Balamor in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof, and they says that those Gemaras that say that Yerushalayim is the highest place in all of Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael's Gavai Mekal Harat, it doesn't mean above sea level, elevation above sea level. It refers to the Gemara there, it's a difficult Gemara. Rashi does have a very difficult pshat, that Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof in the base. So seven Rishayim all learn the same pshat, Rabbi Yehuda Levi and the Baal HaMor and many others. They learn pshat and the Gemara. Gemara there is talking about where is the international date line. So that depends. The assumption in the Gemara is that the earth is a globe and the globe has two hemispheres. So how do you divide the two hemispheres? So we usually divide the two hemispheres politically. The Western hemisphere is all of advancement, technology, freedom. The Eastern Hemisphere is Russia, the Rishoyim, oppression, servitude, and everything. Or that's the Eastern Hemisphere, Western Hemisphere. Or you divide according to the equator, upper hemisphere, lower hemisphere. That makes more sense. So the Rishoyim, so all of these seven Rishoyim, Darm Pshat and the Gemara, they're two hemispheres, the upper hemisphere and the lower hemisphere. But what's on top of the upper hemisphere? Is it the North Pole? Is it the South Pole? Is it New York? So the Gemara says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world, the first second in time, the top of the upper hemisphere, you can be whatever you want. You can have whatever you want on top, North Pole, South Pole. You can have Mexico on top, whatever you want you can put on top. So the Gemara says, Yerushalayim was on top. What's an afkamina, what was on top? Where is the international date line? Whenever you have a globe and you have a ball and you have two hemispheres, so whatever is, so each hemisphere has 180 degrees, because the whole circle is 360 degrees. So six hours to the east and 6 hours to the west of Yerushalayim will be the first hemisphere. 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim is going to be the international date line. When it says, Vayyereh, Vayyivokeh, Yom Echad, so the Tzeisa Kochavim, the Shkiah and the Tzeis Kochavim, the first day, happened with Yerushalayim on top, so the Shkiah was 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. So that's where they came up with this idea that the international datum has to be somewhere over there. And then the Chazon Ish published this whole essay, Kuntres Yud Chav Shoes and Chel Dor Chaim. Originally, it wasn't divided Dor Chaim every day of an Ezra Chav Shemish, but originally the Chazon Ish published each sefer separately. Then after he passed away, then his relatives who were in charge of the reprinting of the Svarim, so they put it all together. Arachaim and so on. So now it's in Chelik Arachaim. The country, Yud Chav Shoes, is about the international date line. So he says that's what all the Rishonim said. He says that the date line should be 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. So that's the relevance of this. So Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim had significance from day number one. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Eretz Yisrael was on top and Yerushalayim was on top. My nafkamina for the date line. And then according to the Gemara and Chelek, the Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. How could that be? If you have water, hot water, slushing all over the place, there are no walls, there are no water, there are walls separating Eretz Yisrael, that the water won't affect Eretz Yisrael. How can it be? The whole story of the Mabul was a miracle. You don't have to say that it's a novel. We assume the Mabul really happened. There was a real person, Doyach. And the Mabul really happened, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the whole world. Either isn't so much water in the whole wide world. It could be that the people didn't live all over. It could be that just like the Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael, so maybe it didn't affect other parts of the world. Maybe only affected the areas where people lived. Whatever, the whole story of the Mabul is a miracle. The whole thing is a miracle. True, there isn't so much water in the whole wide world that it should be 15 amas above the highest mountain. But the whole story of the Mabul was a miracle. It's interesting, the Pasuk says in the end of Bereshis, so Rashi quotes from the Bereshis Rabbah, what did Noach do that they were so excited? So Rashi quotes Bikitsa, the Medrash says that until after the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cursed mankind, he cursed all the Bereshis. Quotes V'darda Tatzmiach Loch, that people have to work very hard. They didn't have any kelim. They didn't have any instruments to help them plow and plant, and they had to do everything by hand. The Kotz V'dada was growing. Everything was crazy. When Noach came, he figured out how to make plows and how to do everything with instruments. So everything took 1/10 the time. They weren't so busy working so hard on the field, on the farm, so they had a lot of time on their hands. So what are you supposed to do with all this time? As the world keeps on advancing, and they keep on having more technological advances, so we have more free time. People used to work 7 days a week. The goyim used to work on Shabbos also. Now they don't. No, people don't work not on Shabbos, not on Sunday. Years ago, it was a big, when my grandparents lived here in America, there were mois and nefesh to be Shomer Shabbos. People lost their jobs when if you would be a Shomer Shabbos. You had to work 6 days a week, or seven, sometimes 7 days a week. They didn't give you off on Sunday either. Now, no one works on Shabbos and Sunday. Hardly anybody works Shabbos and Sunday. And the work day also is shorter. Everybody says, so what do you do with all that extra time? So that's the Mishnah in Ksubis has a din, that if a man prohibits his wife from working, he doesn't want his wife to nurse the baby, he doesn't want his wife to cook the food, not to wash the laundry. He has maids for everything. Wife isn't going to do anything. So the Gemara says that that's terrible. Batolam avila deis zima. If a person has nothing to do, he's gonna run to his nus. Batolam avila deis shi'amum. It leads a person to lose his brains. You have to work. You have to be involved. You have to be engaged in something in order that you shouldn't become stupid. You shouldn't use your seichel. So what are people doing all the time that they have? So we see the world is not becoming bigger Yirei Shemayim. If anything is Deima, everything goes. Everything goes. That was the Dor HaMabul. They had a lot of time on their hands because Noach manufactured all of these new instruments to help them do agriculture. And with all the time on their hands, they were experimenting and they're trying everything else. They were practicing Mishka Behema. And the Pasuk says, because of the pressure of the society, the whole society was so corrupt in Gilead Arai's area, had an effect on the behemoths, Rashi quotes, Ki Yishchas Kalbosar Az Darka Al Horetz. The behemoths were Niskokim Ba'ein Aminam. Not only the people were having Znus with the behemoths were Niskokim Ba'ein Aminam. And certainly it is affected by the society we live in. It's terrible. Anyway, so that's what happened with the Dor HaMabul over here. Dor HaMabul was absolutely awful. So so the Baruch Hashem said he wants to destroy the whole world. When they entered into the Teva, it's interesting, the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, another 7 days he's going to bring the Mabul. Why did he wait another 7 days? Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Meshushalach passed away at that time. If you calculate the years, that's when Meshushalach died. So out of respect for Meshushalach, he was a nice fellow. So the Rebbeinu Shlom waited 7 days that the terrible tragedy of the Mabul shouldn't occur during his lifetime. But then the Medrash has another pshat. HaKadosh Baruch was sitting Shiva over the world. He made a Gemar Din. There's a Din in Mishnayis and Sanhedrin. Once the Beis Din makes a Gemar Din L'misa on a person, the person has the status of a Gabbai K'tilo. So if, let's say there's a fellow, I always hated him, I always wanted to kill him. But the police will put me in prison if I kill him. So I wait till he did some other there's an exec my din and he said, then I go and I shoot him. I didn't shoot him to fulfill the mitzvah of that he was Mechal Shabbos and he deserved skila. I didn't do it the shame mitzvah. I did it because I never liked him. I always wanted to kill him. But it doesn't matter. The Gemara says, you're really not allowed to kill him like that. But if you did, you're not chayv misa. Because after Bezdin makes a Gemara din misa, that he has the status of a garba ktila. There's a big deal in Achrenim. Chacham Tzvi and others have discussion. What if it was a Bezdin shel nochrin? By B'nai Noach also, there's a principle that the B'nai Noach violates any one of the seven mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So the Gemara says, Azharosam zui misosam, if he violates any Azara, if he violates Gezel, or any other Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayis, Shvichas Domim, Eivon Achai, the Nochri is Chayiv Misa. So let's say a Bezin Shal Nochri. You don't need a Bezin of 23. A Bezin of 8 Echad, the Dayan Echad is enough. So let's say the Bezin Shal Nochri, the court decided, they're going to give the death penalty. By us, there are four Arba Misas, and we have Skiva, Sreifa, Herig, and Chenik. By the Bnei Noach, you always have Saif. They only have Saif. That's the Rambam, the Gemara, like that. Everything is Saif. So what if a Bezin Shal Nochri made a Gemara Din on a person? That would that person have the status of a Gavar Ktila, that a Hor Goen, and a Golob, or is that only if Bezin Shal Yisrael made a Gemara Din? So that's a deal in the Chacham Tzvi. It's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch also, whether that Din of Gavar Ktila applies or not. We have a Din of Cherem. When the Bezin puts a person in Cherem, what is that all about? So the Gemara says, it sounds like a Balatur in Manchum. The Gemara says that the word Cherem is the same Oisius as Ramach Evorim of a male. So the Gemara says, a Cherem is a curse that seeps into the Ramach Evorim that the person should drop dead. The person violates some Avera, and sometimes he deserves to be placed in Cherem. So Cherem is a curse that the Bezin places on him. He should drop dead, and we consider him. And then if he dies ultimately, let's say he dies 25 years later, so we consider it as if he died because of the curse of the Bezin, and the family doesn't sit shiva. Because the Mishnah says, by the Harugei Bezin, Emes Adlim Alem, the relatives don't observe Abelis, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Bavod Rishon Rina, he's supposed to celebrate. I don't know if the family will be interested in celebrating, but the din is that they don't sit shiva. So it says that Misha Meis Beniduya, if a person was put in Cherem and Nidui, Bezin Sofam Es Arono. So the Gemara says it doesn't mean that you put a whole pile of stones, Gegala Shalochan, like in Sefer Yoshua. It just means he put a slab of stone on top of the Oren to demonstrate that really he deserved to get Skilo. So the Gemara has dinim that if a person is placed in Cherem, he has to observe certain aspects of Avelis. The Gemara has a whole discussion. How many doesn't observe all the laws of Avelis? Some of the laws he doesn't observe, some of the laws he doesn't observe. It's in the third parak in my cut, parak in the Megalth. The Gemara discusses which dinim of Shiva does the person who's in Cherem, which does he observe, which does he not observe. So what is he observing Avelis for? The Netziv says, because when the Bezin put him in Cherem, that means they made a Gemar Din Lenisa on him. We consider him a Gavad Tila. So normally when a person dies, the relatives observe Avelis because of the loss of the person. Here we say the person is clear to observe Avelis on himself, because I'm still alive, but the Bezin made a Gemar Din Lenisa on him. Bezin cursed him, and that's equivalent to a Gemar Din Lenisa. So similar to that Din of Cherem, that's what the Netziv explains in his commentary on the Shulchan. He explains, when the Shulchan talks about Cherem, he explains all of this. So that's what there's one opinion in the Medrash, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kili Yom Emot Shivanoch and Mamtir Al Ha'aretz, the Mabul will begin in another 7 days. The first pshat is what Rashi quoted, that Zimei Yav L'Shom L'Shishelach, and the other pshat is not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting Shiva over the world because he already made his mind up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a Gemar Din Lenisa on the world. So the whole world, all the people in the world are considered as if they're a Gavra Ktila, but even though they're still alive. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is observing Avelis over the world. An interesting comment. The Pesukim say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Noach he should take Zochan Nekeva, Shnayim, the Kol Bosa, but for the kosher animals he should take Shiva. He should take 7 pairs. Why 7 pairs? It's not clear in the Chumash, in the Gemara, whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them after he comes out from the Mabul, after the Mabul is over, he should bring Korbanos, so he understood on his own he should bring the Korbanos. But the Gemara says he knew. The Gemara says, Malamed Shalom, Rashi quotes it also, Malamed, that Noach knew Halacha. He knew which animals are kosher, which animals are not kosher. If you ask a goy in the street, the goyim today know which, they know pork. Jews don't eat pork. Do they know horse meat is also? I don't know what they know. They know elephants are also. You have to be malager, mafis, pars. I don't know what they know. Fish? The Jews don't know which fish are kosher, which are fish, and which fish are also. But the Gemara said, Malam Shalamat Nachter, he knew which are behemoth or which is behemoth mayor. And later on, after the Malva was over, he understood on his own, or Kodesh Baruch Hu told him that he brought korbanos from the behemoth, or he didn't bring from the behemoth tmeya. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Mikol achai, Mikol basor, shnayim Mikol. What does it mean, Mikol achai? So the Gemara says in the first parak of Maseches Avodah Zarah that Ben Noach, who wanted to bring a korban, may not bring a mechusa eiver. He can bring a balmum, he can't bring a mechusa eiver. If the Ben Noach brings a korban to the Beis Hamikdash, if he's an Ovid Avodah Zarah, wants to bring a korban for Yoshkev, so we don't accept it. But if he wants to bring a korban to the God of the Jewish people, so then we will accept it. The Psukim in Vayikra says, "Bi'ab ben echla sakri ben seila." If a goy comes to the Beis Hamikdash to bring a korban that's a balmum, we don't accept it. But if it's not a balmum, then you do accept the korban if he's giving it la shamayim, if he's giving it la gavoya. So when do you have, but if it's a balmum, you don't accept it. So what in the Gemara mean that if the noach can't bring a mechusar eiver, but if it's a balmum, he can bring it, means he wants to make his own mizbeach. The Nochri wants to make his own mizbeach and bring karbonos lagavoya, so he can bring a balmum also on the Beis Hamikdash, we won't accept. But if he wants to make his own mizbeach, his own balmum somewhere in the world, he doesn't have an issur of shchut techutz. He's allowed to be makriv balmum, but he's not allowed to be makriv on mechusarev. Taisus asks over there, what do you mean? But the Gemara in Sanhedrin lists off all the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. This is not one of them. Huh? The Gemara came up with a new din now. What? He's over an avera. If he brings a mechusar eiver, he's over an avera. They have more than Sheva mitzvah now. That's what Taisus asks. Taisus gives an answer. Pshatis, he's not over an avera, but he's not yotzei his obligation. But Noach took a neder to bring a korban, and then he makes a mizbeah, a bama somewhere. So he has a korban that's a balmum, but it's, so he wants to bring it. He brings it to the Beis Hamikdash, they don't accept it. So he brings it, makes his own bama, fine. So when he's makar with the korban balmum, he's yotzei. But if he's going to be makar with a korban that's mechusar eiver, then he's not yotzei his neder, and he has to bring it over again. It's not that it's an aveira to be makar with a korban that's a mechusar eiver. It's not when the Sheva Mitzvah has been enough, but it means if he took a neder, he won't be yotzei the neder. So on the side of the page, Rabbi Kaveger asked, and Avner Meloim asked also, how did Tosfos answer the kasha? The din to observe your neder is also from the Taryag Mitzvah Satur. If a benoch takes a neder, is he mechuyev to observe the neder? He takes a neder not to eat potato chips. He takes a neder, he's going to donate so much money to tzedakah. Is he mechuyev to observe his neder? We have a din, what's for Sechav Tishma? We have a din, you have to observe the door. But by Benedach, there is no din of the door. So that's Rabbi Kiveg, and they'll be in Al-Shas. They asked, how did Taisa answer the Kasha? They asked the Kasha, the Benedach don't have more than Sheva mitzvahs. You just came up with another mitzvah, not to be makar of Mechusar Eiver. So Taisa answered, no, there's no Aver, he's not Eiver, it's just that he's not Yotze, he's Chiyav. Who says he has that Chiyav of Mitzvah Sechat Tishma? So the Mishlam Melech quotes in Hilchas Malachim, the Rama quotes all the end of Hilchas Malachim, the Rama quotes all the dinim of the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. And the Mishlam Melech quotes that in the Talmud Yerushalmi there's a machlokes hatanoim whether b'nei noach are obligated to observe a shvua or not, and that are not in on Yom Kippur by Mincha we lay in Yoina. So in Yoina it says when the ship Asfina Chashva the Hishaver, there was such a storm at the sea that the boat was going to sink, so all the sailors on the boat were so petrified they all pledged that if they survived this whole, and they heard that it's all because of Yonah, he ran away from the God of the Jewish people. So they realized they better appease the God of the Jewish people. So they took a neder that if they survived, they're going to bring korbanos to the God of the Jewish people. So is there such a thing? Are they b'nei noach mechuyev to observe their shavua? So that's 2 days in the Yerushalmi. So one day is yes, that if you take a shavua, usually it's a shavua b'shem, or shavua l'ashem. Either I swear to God or I swear by God. To swear to God means I told God a lie. Let's say I swear in court, the judge wants to know, do I owe money or not? So I say, I swear to God that I don't owe the money. And if I'm lying, means I'm trying to fool God. So that's like chiyuv v'gidduv. I'm swearing to God, and I'm telling God a lie, that I don't owe the money, and I really do. Or the other version of shvua is shvua b'Hashem. I swear by God, just like I believe in God, so too I don't owe the money. And if I really do owe the money, that means I just said I don't believe in God. So that's the one opinion that B'nai Noach are not mechuyev to observe a neder, but they're mechuyev to observe a shvua. Because shvua is either shvua l'Hashem or shvua b'Hashem. But the Torah writes, even if that's the first page in the Ran on the Dorm, he discusses that the shvua always have to have Shem Hashem in it. If you take the shvua not b'Hashem and not l'Hashem, is it binding or not? Does it have a din of a shvua? The din is yes, but the question is why? In Tanakh, he says, l'shvua b'shmi l'shokim, shvua is always b'Hashem or l'Hashem. So the Torah has an interesting comment. The Torah says, let's say you said a neder or a shvua, you only said a half a sentence, but it's self-understood what you were driving at. You didn't say the whole neder. So that's called a yad. Yesh yad l'neder, yesh yad l'shvua. That's how we pass. There's a din of yad both by neder and by shvua. Even though it says in Parshas Vayikra, nefesh kishishava, levate disfasayim, you have to pronounce the neder or the shvua with your lips. If you don't say it, goma b'libo, if you made up your mind to take a neder or shvua, it's not binding. Tzorach l'hoitzi b'svasa, you have to pronounce it. So if you didn't pronounce it, if you didn't say it, you didn't verbalize it, then it's not binding. But if you said a yad, you said an incomplete sentence, and based on what you said, it's a yad hamachiach. Based on what you said, it's pretty obvious what you're driving at. You only said a half a sentence, but it's obvious what you're driving at, so that's considered a dibur. So the Torah says, even if you said a shvua without mentioning Shem Hashem, it's always understood, it's implicit, that every shvua is either l'Hashem or b'Hashem. So that's why there's one opinion in Yerushalmi that b'nei Noach hamuzer not to take a shvua sheker, because a shvua sheker is like lying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like avodah zarah. It's like mecharef v'gadef es Hashem. Anyway, but that's when the Gemara learns that from that pasuk. B'kol achai shekhayin roshi evorim shalbo. Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Noach that the reason why he should bring Chorid, that should only apply to the Beima Ta'ira. Chumash, it doesn't sound like that, but that's how the Gemara said. B'kol achai shekhayin roshi evorim shalbo only applies to the Beima Ta'ira, which he's going to bring later on as karbonis. But the Beima Ta'ira is just to preserve that animal. So even if it has Rosh Eivorim are dead, even if it's a Mechusar Eiver, the Velodos will not be Mechusar Eiver. Let's say if a person is a blind and he has a baby, so the baby's not going to be blind unless it's a genetic thing. So if a person is missing a finger, missing an arm, he's going to have babies. The baby's not going to be missing a finger, missing an arm. So what's wrong if it's a Mechusar Eiver? If it's a Beima Tameya, if it's a Beima Tayra, it can't be Makar Ala Korb. So it's unclear whether the Baruch Shalom told them this, I want you to be Makar Karbonis at the end, or he figured it out on his own. But that's what the Gemara understands. Nikol Achaim, Nikol Basos, Shechaim, Rosh Eivorim Shalom. Rashi quotes in the Bereshis Rabbah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to enter the Teiva, so he said, Noach and his son should go in, and Mrs. Noach and the wives of the son should also go in. Instead of saying Noach and his wife should go in, and each one of their children should go in with their wives, he said the men should go in and the women should go in. So you see from the psukim that they were also b'tash v'shamit, because the whole world was shari b'tzar. The Gemara says when you have b'shnas patzoris, if there's a famine, if the whole world is suffering, if there's a war going on, and everybody's suffering, even if I'm not suffering, the din is that the people are also b'tash v'shamit. Unless for chasuchei banim, unless they don't have any children, because it says that it says later in Bereshit that Yosef had children. The children were b'term tavosh nasara before the years of the famine came. So the Gemara learns that in that pasuk, after the famine began, then it was also b'tash mishamita. Before the famine began, then it was mutar. See here also. And then after the, because the whole world is shari b'tzad, the whole world is suffering from a mabul. And then it says at the end, after the mabul is all over, so it says when they left the teva, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Noach, say ato v'yishtecha, you should leave with your wife, and your son should leave with their wives. So the letter says at that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed them to have Tashem Shamita. Would they have understood on their own the whole reason why they were asked for Tashem Shamita? The whole world is showing the Tzar. Now the whole world is dead, so they're the whole world. So now they're no longer, there's no longer any Mabul. So the Mabul is over, so it should have been Mutter on its own. So the answer probably is that Tom should be Minyan, Tzach Minyan Achal HaTiroi. So the Shaila is, the Rishonim asked the question, why didn't the Gemara learn it out from this Pasuk? Why the Gemara in the first parak in Beitza has, we usually think Dovashim Minyan Tzach Minyan Achal HaTiroi, that it applies to the Din of the Rabbanim. Whatever the Chacham make a takana for a reason, and you live in a generation where the reason doesn't apply, so nonetheless, the takana still applies. But the Gemara says it, even the Gemara says the verse, it even applies to Dinam Derabbanan. The original Psukim Aruch Chumash, it applies to Dinam Deraisa, on the occasion of Maimon Har Sinai, because the Shekhinah was there, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no one could go on Har Sinai. No one is allowed to, in Behemai Mishlo Yechid, Behemai is not allowed to go up, the people are not allowed to go up because it was Hashuas HaShekhinah. After the whole Maimon Har Sinai was over, when they hear that Kiyo Shofar after Maimon HaSinai is all over, so they'll understand the Shekhinah was nostalgic. When you hear the Shofar, that's a similar seal of Shekhinah. That's one of the three reasons why we have Kiyo Shofar, Hamitzoy Yom Kippur. Places in different places talks about it. So one of the reasons is that during the 24 hours, 25 hours of Yom Kippur, there's a special Hashuas HaShekhinah. Lefnei Hashem Tetoru. We're all in a state of Lepnei Hashem. There's a special status of Hashuas HaShekhinah. When Yom Kippur comes to an end, then the Shekhinah goes back to the seventh heaven. That's why the minhag is that you say Hashem Elokim seven times. The Shekhinah is leaving. Shekhinah is leaving our shul and going to the first rakia, then the first rakia to the second rakia, till the seventh heaven. Seven heavens is an idea that the Gemara has in Chagig in the second parak. The Gemara shows from Tanakh that there are seven heavens, each heaven has its own name. Ma'on is not the seventh heaven. When you have a benching by a Shabbat brachas, by a wedding, so you don't. You say, Baruch HaLakein HaShah Simcha Dima'ono. In the Ma'on, I think is the fifth heaven. Why don't you say in the seventh heaven? In English, there's an impression. The guy's so happy, he's in seventh heaven. I mean, that's the greatest Simcha is in the seventh heaven. So the Gemara says, not exactly true. The Gemara in the first paragraph of Chagiga says, "Ein atzus lefnei ha'amokim." When you're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no sadness, because the pasuk says, "Hoy lehada lefanav oiz v'chedva b'mekaymoy." When you're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's always going to be chedva. Frag the Gemara, but there's a pasuk in Novia that says, "B'mistorim tivka napshi." HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying. B'mistorim. The Gemara says, "Yes, that's b'mistorim." B'bote kam b'bote gavoy kam b'bote baroy. In the private rooms, when no one else is there, then the Rabban Shalom is crying. Rabban Shalom is not happy the way things are happening. The world is terrible now. So the Bate Gavoy in the inner chambers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying, then Mr. Amitit can actually, but we can't see that. To us, it looks as if the world keeps on going. People are sinning and murdering and incest and all our various on the books. People are violating Kol HaTorah Kula. But the Zoragili, Arashi Chazavim, and the Rabbi Shalom just lets the world keep on going. So the mistaken impression is, but the Baroi in the outside chambers, the impression conveyed is that Chedva, everything is, there's no Atzus at all. But the truth of the matter is, in the seventh heaven, where the Rabbi Shalom is all there all by himself, he is crying. He's not happy about the way things are running. The people are ruining his whole world. But that's why we don't say, I don't know, I don't remember what the name of the seventh heaven is, but Mo'on is not the seventh heaven. The seventh heaven, there is Atzus. In the other heavens, we assume that's Ois V'Cher V'Bim V'Kaimai. So the Rishonim asked this kasha, how come the Gemara learns that Dovash Adimin Yitzach Merach Latir from Maimon Har Sinai? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, M'shoch b'kevan ha'yev l'heim v'yadu b'har, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, Shuvu l'chem b'yolechem, everybody can go back. They were also b'tashem shamita because of Maimon HaSinai. They weren't allowed to climb up on HaSinai because of the Hashuas HaShekhinah. And after Maimon HaSinai was over, he said, Shuvu l'chem b'yolechem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to allow them, they're allowed to go back to be with their wives, because the Maimon HaSinai was over, and they're allowed to climb on HaSinai because it doesn't have... It doesn't no longer has Ashuas Hashchinim. So the Gemara learns that from those Pesukim that on Dinim Deraisa, Dovish HaMimin Yitzach Merachlati, even though the Din Deraisa had a reason, the reason doesn't apply anymore, the Din still applies. And some of the Baalei HaTosfos on Chumash are bothered with the Kasha, why do you wait till Maimon HaSinai? Why don't you learn that from here, from Noach? They give a complicated answer. The question is if it's better than the answer. Because Rashi seems to learn it. That's the reason over here. That's the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to be mitzvah for them. The Rambam writes why in the end of the whole Mishnah Torah in Hilchos Malachim, he has all the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch. So he writes, why do we call it the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch? The Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Sugya Ben Enoch. Daf Nun Ches happens to be the Sugya Ben Enoch. Starts Nun Zayin. Ches the test goes on a few block Gemara. So the Gemara says, Vaitzav Hashem Alekim Al Ha'odam, Kol Eitzah Gan Ochol Teichal. Vaitzav Hashem Alekim Al Ha'odam is in Parshas Bereishis, last week said. So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mitzav Ha'odam Rishon, all of the mitzvahs, Gezel and Dinim and everything else. So why is it called Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch? To be Sheva Mitzvahs of the Umas Ha'olam. So the Rambam explains why, because Ha'odam Rishon was not allowed, he had to be a vegetarian, he wasn't allowed to eat meat. So the whole prohibition of Eid Melachai didn't apply to him. It was only after the Mabel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed them to eat meat, Ki Yerek Kesev, Nesak Elachem Eskol. Just like until now you were all permitted to eat fruits and vegetables, so now you're permitted to eat meat, Ki Yerek Kesev. So now HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to tell them that they're not allowed to eat Eid Melachai. So that's why we call it Sheva Mitzvahs B'Nerah. There were originally six mitzvahs, and there was a Hirasha, they weren't allowed to eat meat. And then after the Mabul, when they were Hutter, it was Mutter for them to eat meat, then Eid Melachai was given. So then it became Sheva Mitzvahs. Then the Rambam writes, this is where the world was until Avraham Avinu came on the scene. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him one additional mitzvah, Bris Milah. And then when Yitzchak came on the scene, he was given the opportunity to be Mafrish Maisus. He was Mafrish Maisus. How do you know Yitzchak was Mafrish Maisus? Because when there was a famine, Vayir Robert, Mavad HaRov, and Rishon HaShel, Yavim Avraham, Vayir Yitzchak al Avimelech, Melech Plishtim Girora. Why? So Rashi quotes from the Bereishis Rabbi, he was going to go down to Mitzrayim. Yitzchak Avinu followed all the traditions of Avraham Avinu. So when there was a famine, Avraham Avinu went down to Egypt. So Yitzchak was going to go down to Egypt. He did everything exactly the same as Avraham Avinu. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, no. Shchoy Baratz HaZos, I'll tear it Mitzrayim. If you'll go to Egypt, you won't be going in the tradition of your father. Your father was not Hukdash as a Korban Oilo. Your father was not a Korban. You are Hukdash. Even though by the Akedah, he wasn't offered, but he was Hukdash as a Korban Oilo. And the Korban Oilo is not, if you take it Chutzlum Kom, it'll be Nifsel B'Yotze. So with Lid Doris, we have it in the Korban Oilo after Shechita, if you take it outside of the Azar. It's Nifsal B'yotze. Then even if you bring it back in, you're not allowed to be makir on the Mizbech. Nifsal B'yotze. Yitzchak Avinu was a Korban Oilo. The Korban Oilo before Shechita is not Nifsal B'yotze. So Yitzchak, there was no Shechita. So apparently you see that the Shechita on the Ayil Achanechas was Trach B'kanim. The Shechita on the Ayil was considered as if that Shechita was done to Yitzchak. That's what the Russians say. When Avraham Avinu did the Shechita on the Isle, this HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please consider it as if I did a Shechita on my son. And when he did the Halacha Saddam, he did the Zrika Saddam, he said, please consider it as if I did the Zrika Saddam on my son. So apparently Yitzchak had a din of a Korban Oilo La'acha Shechita. Korban Oilo La'acha Shechita is Nifsal B'yotze. So Lidoiris, the din is if you take the Korban Oilo out of Kachi Kachim, not only Korban Oilo, Aymurim of Kachim Kalim also have a din of Kachi Kachim. Menachas have a din of kachim kalim. All kachim kachim, the mokum is azar. The mokum for kachim kalim is Yerushalayim. If you take kachim kalim chutz Yerushalayim, the nips will be yotz. Even if you bring it back in, it will remain fossil. So kachim kachim, the mokum is the azar. Here in the days of Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak was hukdash as a korban oilo. Where is the mokum? So the mokum is Eretz Yisrael. If he's going to leave Eretz Yisrael, he'll be Nifsal B'yotze. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him he's not allowed to go. He's not allowed to go to Chutz La'aretz. So it says there, Yitzchak stayed, the Eretz Plishtim. Vayizah Yitzchak Baratz Ahim, Yimtza Shana Ahim, Me'ashem, Vayivarcheu Hashem. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash Rabbah, and that passage, Eretz Ahi, it wasn't really part of the original Eretz Yisrael. That's the Gaza Strip. But it is part of Eretz Yisrael, but originally it wasn't part of Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't supposed to be. So it wasn't Eretz Yisrael proper, and it was Bashan Ahi. It was a Shnas Ro'ovan. There was a famine going on. That's why he wanted to leave the Mitzrayim. So despite the fact that it was Ba'aretz Ahi, Bashan Ahi, it turned out he made a cheshbon how much should grow, and it turned out that it was 100 times as much as he calculated. Why did he calculate? Why was he making a calculation? How much do you think is going to grow? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, he made an omed lemaisris. Yitzchak's practice was he was always mafresh maiser. What did he do with the maiser? That's a question, but he was always mafresh maiser. So that's what the Rambam quotes from the Medrash, from the Bereshis Rabbah. Avraham Avinu was there used to be six mitzvahs in the days of Adam HaRishon. Then, after the Mabul, Noach was given the heter to eat meat, and he was given the prohibition not to eat Eid Malachai, so it became Sheva Mitzvahs B'Nenach. Then the world was going for 10 generations till Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was given one additional mitzvah, Bris Milah. Yitzchak doesn't say he was given an obligation to be Mafresh Maisus. The Rambam quotes the Loshon of the Precious Rabbi Yitzchak, Hifresh Maisus. He was Mafresh on his own. He was given the opportunity to be Mafresh Maisus, because it says, Vayim Tzomer Shorim. And the Medrash says he made it Omid L'Maisus. That's how you know that Yitzchak Hifresh Maisus. And Yaakov Avinu was given the mitzvah of Gidon Asher. Each one of the others was given an additional mitzvah. Then the Rambam says, so the world was going along for a couple of generations from the days of Yaakov Avinu. They had Sheva Mitzvahs B'Nenach, and the Jewish people had 2.5 mitzvahs. They had Milah, and they had Gidon Asher, and they had the opportunity to be Mafresh Maisus. They weren't mitzvah, that they had the opportunity to be Mafresh Maisus. Then the Rambam says in Mitzrayim, Amram, the father of Moshe Rabbeinu, was given some additional mitzvahs. Must be a medrash somewhere. They don't know exactly where the Rambam got that from. And then Moshe Rabbeinu came on the scene. He was given the dinim of Korban Pesach, Kodem Atmitor. Then he was given Kol HaTarakuba. And then that's the development of the Tariag mitzvahs. Originally it was six, then it became seven, then Avram, Yitzchak Yankiv, then Amram, and then Moshe Rabbeinu, and then everything. That's the Rambam in Hilchus Mavochim. The prohibition of Ritzicha was already given to Adam HaRishon. That's how the Gemara says. The six, the Eiv Menachah has also a question. Adam HaRishon wasn't permitted to kill an animal. Well, let's say an animal would drop dead on its own. Was he allowed to eat meat? So that's a question. Some Rishonim say he was permitted to eat meat. And the din of Eiv Menachai was given to Adam HaRishon also. Let's say a limb would fall off from an animal on its own while the animal is alive. So he had to be, he's not allowed to kill an animal in order to eat it. You have no right to kill the animal. But if the animal would drop dead, he would be permitted to eat it. But if an Eiv Menachai would fall off from a live animal, he wouldn't be allowed to eat the Eiv Menachai. The Rambam doesn't hold like that. The Rambam assumes like the other Rishonim, that Adam HaRishon was not, until after the Mabul, human beings were not allowed to eat meat, period. Not that they weren't allowed to kill animals, they weren't allowed to eat meat. So the whole prohibition of Eiv Menachai wasn't given until after the Mabul. But Ritzicha, Shvichas Dam, was given before. Vaitzal Hashem Elokim al Adam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvahs, he gave them the din of Ritzicha. So why does it have to be repeated here? Shafech Dam HaAdam, Ba'adam Dam HaYishofa, Ki Vitzal Hakim Asas Adam. So the Rishonim explain over here why, the Baalei HaTos explain why. Because the human beings had sinned so much, every time a person sins, he corrupts his Tzelem Alekim to a certain extent. So people, and the whole prohibition of Ritzicha, the whole prohibition of Shvichas Dam, because the keep the Tzelem Alekim also saw themselves. If the human Tzelem Alekim was so diminished, it was so corrupted, it was so ruined, so maybe there's no longer an Issa Shvichas Dam. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to repeat the din of Shvichas Dam. But a new Issa was given that didn't exist before. Apparently, Koidem HaMabul, it would be meaningful if a Nochri would want to observe Shabbos. It seems that it would be okay. But after the Mabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yom HaValai, L'Kaitz V'Chorif Lo Yishbosim. A Nochri is not permitted. The Pasha Peshat is that the seasons of the year will not go haywire. There will be summer, winter, and fall, and spring, and so on, that during the Mabul, the seasons were all kakai. everything was niskaka lo yishbosa, the season should not be, and the day or the night, the everything should, the world should function properly. But the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation that it means yom avalayla lo yishbosu, the b'nei noyach are not permitted to observe Shabbos. Why? Because Manda had a higher level of Etzelim Alekim, so it made sense for Halach to Vidrochev to imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to reenact the story of creation, apparently Koidam HaMabul, some of the Nochrim would observe Shabbos. But after the Mabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you have so ruined your Etzelim Alekim, it doesn't make any sense any longer that you should volunteer to observe Shabbos. You can't do Halach to Vidrochev. You can't imitate the ways of God because your Tzelem Alekim is so shvach. So one might have thought, Tzelem Alekim is so shvach, so there's no Yisir Yitzicha. The Boshem had to repeat the Yisir Yitzicha. Shafech dam ha'odam, ba'odam dam yishafech. That is Misa's Bezen, ba'odam dam yishafech. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. Pash pshat pash shafech dam ha'odam kama. If you murder a human being, ba'odam dam yishafech, he deserves Misa b'day odam. Because there is Misa B'day Adam, the Bezin should kill him. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. Shavech Dam HaAdam BaAdam. If you kill an Uber, that performing an abortion is an Isa for the B'nai Noach. And the Chayiv Misa. The Gemara says, B'nai Noach, and B'nai Noach is Nera Galu Uberim. If a Nochri causes an abortion, he kills an Uber, kills a fetus, is Chayiv Misa. B'nai Noach is Chayiv Ala Gezel. It's Chayiv Nisa on the Gezel. He must have, he's still spoken from Shavu Putta. It's also Chayiv Nisa. So he's Azar Asam Zuri Misasam. When the Benoich violates any of the Shavu Mitzvah Benoich, he's Chayiv Nisa. So abortion is a Loigar from Gezel. Pach has been Shavu Putta. It's Chayiv Nisa on that.
Rabbi, is there a hetter for self-defense for a guy or not even? Hetter for self-defense.
To do what?
For a guy.
To save my life, to kill him.
To save a guy's life, would there also be that? Or
yeah, din of a rodef, yeah.
There's a din of a rodef for a non-Jew to kill another non-Jew?
Yeah, Tosus thinks that yes, yeah. Tosus talks about it. Tosus thinks that yes. Here, where after the Mabul, when the prohibition of Ritzicha was repeated, the Chumash has another reason that was never mentioned before. Achaz dimchal and avshasech medrash. Not only are you not allowed to kill someone else, you're not allowed to commit suicide. One is not permitted to commit suicide. That's a big question. Suicide is taka, the same iser as ritzicha, yechai misa for suicide. If he's dead, if he commits suicide, you can't give him the death penalty. He's dead already. So the Menchas Chinen comes up with a chiddush. He thinks that suicide is not ritzicha, that yechai misa is if he kills someone else. If he commits suicide, it's misa b'day shamay. But you can't give misa b'day shamay either. He's dead. So the misa deserves misa b'day shamay. So the Menchas Chinuch has a, he says, Chapsan af Kamina, there's a din of Kamlai b'derabine, by Jewish people. By Nochrim, that's the question, whether there's a din of Kamlai b'derabine. That's Machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos and Eruvin. Whether there's a din. Rashi says there's a din of Kamlai b'derabine by B'nai Noach also. Tosfos said they never heard of that. Kamlai b'derabine is a din by Jews. But, so the Menchas Chinuch has a shaila. There's a din of komlei b'derabine. Let's say I shoot or I throw a spear to murder somebody. I throw the spear, so the spear goes through. There's laundry hanging on the clothesline, and the spear rips the laundry, and then it goes and it kills the person. So since the hezek occurred simultaneously with the ma'aser b'tzicha, the fellow's behind the laundry, so he got killed later, but it was all chad maisa. So since that's biyidna, that's all the lasacha, so you say come levi derabine. So, and even if lamaisa, let's say bismanazan, nobody gets the death penalty, he's still potter from pay. It's even chadim misa shogigin, if he killed someone b'shogig. Since if he would have done it b'mezid, bismansha, b'samig, b'shoyikayim, he would have been chayiv misa, if there would have been hasra, even though there's no hasra, and there's no Sanhedrin, and nobody gets Einash Misa, but there's still a din of Kamalei B'Dirabinei. But Kamalei, we paskan, Kamalei B'Dirabinei, is only if there's a Chiyav Misa. Kores and Misa B'Dei Shemayim, we paskan, does not make Kamalei B'Dirabinei. There was a Tanner of Nechunya Berakona. He holds that, Ha'yoyses Yom Kippurim Kishab, he holds that Kores also patas from Tashlumi Mamen, and Abai V'Rava have a machlekes with him, Rav Nuchanya Ben Akana, does Misa B'Dei Shamayim Pater also, but we don't pass like Rav Nuchanya Ben Akana. So Misa B'Dei Shamayim, that for sure does not Pater, Korah doesn't Pater either. So that's what the Menchas Chinuch says, that the person committed suicide in such a way that at the same time he was in the process of committing suicide, he damaged someone else's property. So would there be a din? Is it the same Isa as killing someone else? That's, you really chayiv Misa. Doesn't can't kill you because you're dead already. But theoretically, you're chayiv Misa. So therefore, there would be a din of come by the rabbi. Chayiv Misa shogigim pater from mamon. But if it's only Misa b'dei shamayim, that's what the Menchas Chinuch thinks. He thinks that it's only Misa b'dei shamayim because it says, Achaz zimcha l'nafshu sechem edrash. Edrash usually means Misa b'dei shamayim. And some later Gedolim, the Menchas Chinuch lived around 150 years ago, approximately. So some later Sfarim disagree with the Menchas Chinuch, and they think that, not like him, they think that that suicide is the same as Misa. There are a few different Midrashim on the Pasuk, Achaz Dimchal Nafsh Sechem Edrash, Achaz Amiut, Achaz Rak Amiutim. So the Tamchumen, the Medrash Rabbah, different Midrashim have, what is the miut on the word ach? Yochol ki Shaul, Shaul HaMelech, was afraid during the Melchama, he was afraid that he would be captured by the enemy, they would torture him to death. So he would suffer greatly. So he committed suicide in order that the enemy should not torture him. So that's a shaila. Many Jews who were running away from the Nazis, they knew the Nazis would torture them to death. So many Jews committed suicide. If they knew that there's no way to save their lives, they would commit suicide. If a person is in the Israeli army and he's afraid he's going to be captured by the enemy and they're going to force him to reveal secrets, military secrets that would be detrimental to the war effort, so just like you're allowed to shoot to kill people in the war for the war effort, so you're allowed to commit suicide for the war effort also. When you're waging a war, there's a heter melchama. There's a heter to do ritzicha, the shas melchama. So it's mutter to commit suicide also. But the shaila is, what if he commits suicide? He doesn't know any secrets. They're not going to get anything from him. But they'll torture him. They'll cut off every finger. They'll cut off till he'll die from suffering. So that's what Shaul HaMelech did. So a few midrashim say, ach is zilchon ha-shzech medrash, ach means yochel kishof ha-melech, ach that it's mutter. So Rabbi Yosef Kara quotes this in the Berek HaBayis. In the Beis Yosef, if you look in a regular tour, so the Beis Yosef is always written on Rashi script, and then in a later, the second edition of the Beis Yosef, he added on Hoysofis every so often. That's called Berek HaBayis. The Sefer is Beis Yosef. So Berek HaBayis is touching up the Beis Yosef. So you can find it easily. It's in bold print. In bold print in block letters. Instead of being in Rashi script and lighter letters, it's in bold print and block letters. So in the Siman at Vakuf Nanzayin, I think the Siman about Yehorek Bal Yavar. So that's why the Beis Yosef, in the Berek HaBayis, he quotes this Medrash, and he seems to assume that that's the jinn, that one is permitted to commit suicide if the motivation is in order to spare himself suffering at the hands of the enemy. The later post can have all discussion, should we really accept that medrash or not? The Beis Yosef quoted the medrash, he thinks that that's the din. It doesn't say we shouldn't follow that. But some of the later post can question it. So that's the shaila alof ha'maaseh. During the Second World War, many people did commit suicide because they knew that the Nazis would torture them to no end. At the end of the parsha, we see the way Noach got drunk. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, "Da fine on nivra yain elo lenachem boyas habelim." They have, according to our calculations, Adam Rishon was 5,782 years ago. Was Adam Rishon? So according to the history books, wine existed in the days of Adam Rishon. Now the Adam Rishon was figured out, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him how to make wine. So the Gemara says, based on the Pasuk in Navi, and Mishlei, I think, that Lo Nibra Yayin Ela Lenachem Bo Yisavim. There's a value in having intoxicating beverages. If an oval is aggravated, he's upset that a relative of his died. So he should take a little drink. He shouldn't get drunk, like shikr. He shouldn't become shikr. Noach became vayishkar. Vayishkar v'socha holo. That's terrible. But a little bit, if a person knows how to control himself, a little bit is not fit. I remember the last many years, we go on vacation to Tannersville in upstate New York on the way to Albany. So there was a dentist who lived there. He was a religious person. He used to come to shul. He and his wife came to shul on Shabbos. But he had no Jewish education for his son. So his son grew up nothing. Someone come to shul once in a while. Then his son wanted to marry. He fell in love with a non-Jewish girl. So he met a conservative rabbi. He converted the girl. Then he married the girl. The whole thing was a big joke. He wanted to have an oifrof in the shul. So the rabbi wouldn't let him have an oifrof. He's marrying an ochris. What kind of conversion is that? So I remember when his mother died, so the people from the shul, the mother used to daven in the shul. In the summertime, it used to be a minyan. Years ago, before I went, it used to be a minyan all year long. But the last years that I go, there's no minyan all year long, just in July and August. So the people from the shul, the rabbi from the shul, organized a funeral. So then I remember we made up, we're going to daven mincha at his home in the afternoon, after the kura, and he's going to say Kaddish. He knew a little bit how to read Hebrew, he was going to say Kaddish. We came to his home, to daven mincha, he was absolutely drunk. He was laying in bed, he couldn't get him out to say Kaddish, absolutely drunk. So that's like Noach, for a shinka like Noach, okay. The Gemara says, "Well, never yain ela nachem ve'esavelim." There's a din of sudas havra. The first meal after the kvura, others are supposed to give to the oval. So some of the rishonim say you have to give yain, because the Gemara says, "Well, never yain ela nachem ve'esavelim." Some rishonim say it should be a sudah chashuva, should be basa v'yain, not just yain, basa v'yain. But you shouldn't get drunk. So Noach got drunk, and. And Canaan started up with him. So it says, Vayikach Shem v'yefes asimla, when they heard that the father was undressed in bed and drunk, everything terrible. So it says, Vayikach Shem v'yefes asimla. Why is it saying the singular Vayikach? It doesn't say Vayikru. Rashi quotes from the Medrash Rabbah. So it was really Shem's idea. But then when Yefes realized that Canaan was a miserable chum, and Canaan were miserable, and Shem is a decent guy, so Yefes wanted to go along with Shem. Says Vayikach instead of Vayikchu, it wasn't both of their ideas, it was Shem's idea, Yefes went along. So then it says, when Noach woke up, and he overcame his drunkenness, and he went back to normal, so he gave a blessing, Yavta lekim le'yefes v'yishkan v'oha le'shem. Remember, Rav Soloveitchik used to give always a yortzeit drasha on his father's yortzeit. It used to be a lot of times over 4 hours. The first 2 hours would be a shir in halacha and a gemara. Then the next 2 hours would be a shir in hashkofa, a shir in machshava, and agadita. It would always be on the same topic that he developed on an idea in halacha. He would always show what the Musa Haskel, what hashkofa you see from this halacha. So on one occasion, he was speaking about this pasuk, Yapta lekim le'efes v'yishkan v'ohal le'shem. He spoke about the difference between ethics and etiquette. Ethics means you do the right thing, whether people are watching or not, whether anybody else knows what you're doing or not. You have to do the right thing. So Shem said he has to do the right thing. Yefes jumped on the bandwagon. If he sees that Shem is going in to cover the father, because the father's been bizoyan, and Chum and Canaan were Mevazah the father, so he said he's going to go along with Shem. So Yefes did what etiquette dictates. Etiquette depends on what people are around. Some people will pick their noses and eat with their fingers when no one's watching. When people are watching, they're not going to do that. They're not going to do something like that. That's etiquette. And ethics is you do the right thing whether people are watching or not, whether anybody knows, even if it's not politically correct. You have to do the right thing. So there's a Rashi quotes some of the Midrashim. Because Shem was mechaber the father by covering him up, So the Jewish people are, the anti-Semites are the ones who hate the Jews. So we, the Jewish people, are descendants from Shem. There are a lot of Arabs also descendants from Shem, but the Jewish people are B'nai Shem. So that's why the Jewish people were zeicher to the mitzvah of Talis. And because Yefes went along with Shem, so that's why Lasid Lavai, Dom Salam, who will die in the Mechemes Gog and Magog, will be zeicher to Kvurim. That's what it says in the end of Yecheskel. After Mechemes Gog and Magog, they'll be burying them. They were, because Yefes was careful about Kavod Abrias, if Kavod the father, along with Shem. So that's why his descendants will be zeicher to have Kavod Abrias, to have a Kvurim. So the Mefarshim are bothered with the Kasha. Mefarshim are Rashi quote the Kasha. There's another Gemara in Perakise Adam, in Chulam, where the Gemara says that as a reward for the fact that Avram Avinu by the Melchemes, with Abba Melochim Negar HaChamisho, after all the wars were all over, so Melech Sodom offers to Avram Avinu, Teinli HaNevesh V'Rechush Kachloch. So Avram Avinu says he's not going to take Nechut V'Atzroch now. So because Avram Avinu refused to take Nechut V'Atzroch now, his descendants were Zecher to Chut Shal Tzitzis, we were Zecher to the Mitzvah of Tzitzis, and because of the Shroch now, we were Zecher to the Mitzvah of Chalitza. Because the Zecher to the Mitzvah of Tefillin, because the Ritzuas and the Chalitza Shul are exactly the same as the Ritzuas of the Tefillin. But because Avram Avinu refused to take Shroch now, a true strap, they didn't have shoelaces, they had straps. And the straps are the same. You see a chalitza shoe, the straps are much the same as the straps on the tefillin. So that, here the Medrash says that the Jewish people was zeicher to talis shel tzitzis because shame, vayikach shame es ha-simla, and there it says, we zeicher to the tzitzis because of what Avram Avinu said. So the Mefarshim say, no, they're two different things. We were zeicher to the beged of tzitzis because shame covered over Noach. We were zeicher to the chutim of tzitzis because Avraham Avinu said, mechut v'atzrech now. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that there's a Magen Avraham quotes an Arizal, if I'm not mistaken, that when you wear an Arba Kamfis, the beged should not be on top of your shirt. When the beged should be under your shirt, covered, only the chut v'tzitzis should be exposed. So he said, the beged is under your shirt. Nobody sees the beged. So because Shem was careful about ethics, even if nobody sees, even if no one's doing anything, he knows the right thing you have to do. You have to do the right thing even if no one's watching. So we were zeichet to the beged of tzitzis, which we wear under our shirts, this chus Shem. But we're zeichet to the chutin tzitzis that are exposed, that people are seeing that we're wearing chutin. That was because Avraham Avinu said, nichut v'atzrech now. That's important. People have to do what's right, even if it's not politically correct. Rabbi Soloveitchik always would insist on doing what's right, even if it's not politically correct. And a lot of times people left him. He always took a position that was very often not the mekubal, not the accepted position. The Gemara in the end of Yuma has dinim, the last perek of Yuma, the whole beginning of Yuma till the last perek is all about the avodas Yom Kippur, the hakrabas hakrabanas. That was in the days of the Beis Hamikdash. That was the main part of Yom Kippur, which is today we don't have it. And the last perek is about the inui. So in the last perek in Yuma, they have to discuss the din, the pikuach nefesh. Not everybody is healthy enough to fast on Yom Kippur. If there's a stek fake of a sakonis nefashis, so you tell a person he has to eat on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara talks about all the dinim of pikuach nefesh. There were those who misunderstood. It says that until the days of the Chashmonaim, somehow a chiddush in the days of the Chashmonaim that they went to battle on Shabbos. So some people who wrote books on Jewish history wrote that until the days of the Chashmonaim, the Jews never went to war on Shabbos. That's ridiculous. So, pikuach nefesh. Koch Nevesh, not Dech HaShabbos, Koch Nevesh, it was never a Shabbos. From the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the day after Maimon HaSinai, there was a Shaila. If a woman's having a baby on Shabbos, do you drive it to the hospital? Do you Mechal HaShabbos? Of course you Mechal HaShabbos. It came up fasting on Yom Kippur. The din of Pikuach Nefesh Berachah was from day number one, was relevant. Didn't begin in the days of the Chashmonai. There was one aspect of Melchama that if the Goyim are not attacking us, but we can see, we can predict that if we don't do something today, there's going to be a Sakos Nefoshes next month. It's pretty obvious. And then that was the Chiddush of the Chashmonai. That a lot of Bimchal Shabbos, if it's even though it's not an immediate Sakonis Nefoshes. But that Pikuach Nefesh Doicha, the Pashta says that that din was not Nischadish. Over the generations, the Talmid HaChacham and every generation came up with big Chidushim. But the Pashta says Pikuach Nefesh was not Nischadish in the days of the Chashmonai. Pashta says it was there all along. Fasting on Yom Kippur was always a din. Woman has a baby on Shabbos, always a din, Yodoicha Shabbos. So the Gemara has a din there in the last parak on Yom Kippur. Misha Nofla Olav Mapolis. A house, a building collapsed on a person. He's on the bottom on Shabbos, and he's on the bottom of the pub. So there's a malacha. There's a question, is it a malacha deraisa, malacha derabban, some kind of malacha to take off all of the bricks from the person. Some kind of a malacha. So the Gemara says, you're not sure if the guy's alive. Maybe he's dead. You're not sure if he's Jewish or a Nochri, because a Nochri, strictly speaking, Pikuach Nefesh is not doich Shabbos. The Chassam Sofer writes that in Hungary, the Gedolim made a takon, you have to be Mechal Shabbos for the Nochrim also, because if you won't be Mechal Shabbos and they're going to realize what we're doing, they'll make a pogrom and they'll kill all of us. So it's our Pikuach Nefesh. Whenever this is takonah for the Nochri, especially the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva, that there was only one doctor in Pressburg at his time. And the doctor was Jewish. And he was a religious doctor. So once a Goyish farmer took sick on Shabbos, and he sent one of the workers on the farm in a horse and a wagon that they should bring the doctor. So the doctor had the Goy carry his bag for him, and he rode on the wagon, and the Goy drove him chutz l'tchum, and he took him there. So someone was complaining, the doctor went chutz l'tchum to treat the Goy. So the Chassam Sofer has a whole tshuva. It's mutter, what do you mean? There's only one doctor in the whole city. He's going to say, Amish, 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 they'll kill him. Of course he has to go. This is don't Pikuach Nefesh. He's not going to save the life of the street. These people called Amish Anachi is not Decha Shabbos. We can't understand that. We find that hard to swallow. How can it be human life? Because we don't realize how important Shabbos is. We don't realize how important all the other Dina HaTorah are. Human life is taki extremely valuable, even life of an Anachi, but the mitzvahs are more valuable. We have a misunderstanding of the hierarchy of values. So strictly speaking, Kol Nefesh Anochi is not Derech Shabbos, but Chassam Sofer says it made a takana that it's because Nefesh of the Jews. If he won't be Mechal Shabbos for the Anochim, they may make a pogrom. So that's mutter. So the Gemara has a case. You're not sure if it's a Jew or a Goy. You're not sure if he's alive or dead. So you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. Then you're taking off all the stones, and then I'm still not sure if he's alive. I see he's Jewish, okay. I still don't know, whatever. I don't know if he's alive or dead. So the Gemara says, I look at his nose, and if I see he's not breathing, then he's dead. Where they get this einfall, that if a person is not breathing, a person not breathing for a minute or two, that's he's not necessarily dead. He can come to later. But if he's not breathing for a while, then that's the tradition. The Chevra Kadisha, when they're by a geyser, so they wait. That when he stops breathing for 15, 20 minutes, then they bury him. So in Europe, they passed laws in the middle 1800s that you're not allowed to bury a person until 48 hours go by someplace, and then 72 hours go by after they sign the death certificate. Because maybe the doctor, this judge, maybe he's really alive, maybe he just stopped breathing for a while. So the Jews always didn't observe that. So the Maritz Chayis had a few maskilim lived in his community. He lived in Zalkada, that was a city in Galicia. And so he corresponded a little bit with the Chassam Sofer. So the end of the, in the Chuvas Chassam Sofer, they have a letter to the Maritz Chayis about this. But it doesn't have his name. It says L'chod, dot, dot, dot. All the other tshuvas have the name of the person to whom the tshuva was written, less than 10, maybe less than 5, where the name doesn't appear. We understand why the name doesn't appear, because in the middle of the letter that some sefer writes, are you an apikoros? What's the matter with you? Why are you raising such an issue? So when they printed, the children of some sefer printed joke, they didn't want to be mevazeh the Maariv Chai, so they left out his name. But the Maariv Chai was very proud of the fact that he had a correspondence with the some sefer. So he printed separately. He printed his letter and the some sefer's response. So we know who the letter was sent to. And he didn't make it up, because every paragraph in the Chassam Sefer is true, but it corresponds to each paragraph in the letter that he sent. Every so often, you read a true in the Chassam Sefer, you don't know what in the world is he referring to. It's very unclear. There are a few tshuvas, so it's very unclear, because we don't have the letter that the Shoyl sent. Chassam Sefer wrote responses paragraph by paragraph. So here in this response, he quotes a Mara Nevuchim. Where did the Mar Nevuchim come from? Because the Maariv Chai quoted the Mar Nevuchim. So the Chassam Sefer responds by commenting on the Mar Nevuchim. So the Maariv Chai sent a letter to the Chassam Sefer when the Goyish government passed this law that you're not allowed to bury anybody until 2 or 3 days go by, 48 hours or 72 hours go by. Maybe he's still alive, maybe he made a mistake. So he said, maybe we should go along, because we find in different sources in Midrashim that the doctors made mistakes and they thought the person was dead and really alive. Maybe it's a suffix sakana. Maybe it's a suffix gotnam. So the Chassam Sefer said, you are off your mind. It happens 1 in a million, it's going to happen that the doctors made a mistake. It's not so common. And that's when he said, are you an apikoros? What do you think? When the Rebbe Shalom told the din to Moshe Rabbeinu, kabbati b'rena b'yom ahu, he must have told him when he stops breathing how long he has to stop breathing. So where did the Gemara get this idea from? If the whole building fell on the person, and you finally dug him out, and you see that he's not breathing, you assume he's dead. So the Gemara says, based on the pasuk in Parshas Noach, the pasuk says, "Kol Hashem Nishmas Rochaim Diapov, the Kol Hashem Becharova Mesu." Says everybody who was able to breathe died. So you see from the pasuk that if you're breathing, you're alive. If you're not breathing, you're dead. So the Chassam Sefer writes in that tshuva, in that famous tshuva, in the end of Yerideya, the very end of Yerideya, we have Hilchos Avelus, and before Hilchos Avelus, we have Hilchos HaRaifim, that the doctor is mechuyev to be educated medically, to medical school. You shouldn't treat a patient if he doesn't know medicine well. And all the dinim, what the doctor was allowed to do, what he's not allowed to do, and so on. And then if the doctor was not successful, you rip Kriya and you observe Avelus, that's how it starts over there. So the Pischei Tshuva there quotes this. Chassam Sefer doesn't quote the whole Tshuva, but he quotes part of it. So also in that Tshuva, he said, this pasuk is an asmachta. The whole story that they came up with in recent years, that brain death is considered dead, is all based on that pasuk. Because when the stem of the brain is dead, the stem of the brain controls the breathing and the person is not able to breathe. So they made it into a whole, as if it's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, that's a definition of life and death, breathing and not breathing. And since the stem of the brain is dead, so he's not able to breathe on his own. So even if you put him on a respirator, but he's not able to breathe from now on, usually put on a respirator, then he comes back to normal and he's able to breathe on his own. What if the stem of the brain is dead? He's never going to be able to breathe on his own. So many thought, that's not, by definition, he's not alive. He's not able to breathe on his own. The Pashtus is, like the Chassam Sefer said, this is Nishkin Drosha, that was an Asmachta. What is the definition? If the guy's not breathing for 15, 20 minutes, then we know he's dead. So what is the definition of life and death? So the Pashtus is, the definition is something else, not based on this pasuk, based on other psukim. And where it says in Masechta Shabbos, that if you cause a person to bleed, or you cause an animal to bleed, that's a malacha on Shabbos. So it's unclear. The Gemara never says what the malacha is. So there are three different opinions. Rashi said that it's oveya, and the Rambam says that it's dosh, like squeezing out the juice from a grape. And Tosfos says that it's tilis neshama, because the pasuk says ki adam hu anefesh. Ki adam hu anefesh, that the blood circulation keeps the animal alive. So the Poskim all assume like this, it's called the Talmud Yerushalmi, says like that. It's strange that the Rambam Rashi didn't know the Talmud Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi said the Ferish like this, it's Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh. Malikotel Kula, Malikotel Pala. So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, apparently 80, 90 years ago, there was a big tilpul going on here in America. If a person had a stroke and the left side of his body is paralyzed, his left arm is paralyzed, can it be yotzei tefillin by putting tefillin on the paralyzed arm? So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, yes. How does he know? Because his father, we spoke about his father, slept in Silke on Shmini Atzeres, and it was cold, and his father got a stroke, and he died a few months later because of that sleeping in the Silke on Leil Shmini Atzeres, it was freezing. And even though the father had a stroke, he still continued to put tefillin on the left arm. So that's the din, because my father did. How did his father know? So Moshe has a tshuva, it's a Gemara. He dug up a Gemara in Bchoris, the middle of Bchoris, and nobody ever, only the Daf Yomi people read every page. It's in the middle of the Bumen. Who's considered the Baal Mum? What's Mechusareva by Oifus? There's a din, there's no din of Baal Mum by Oif, but there's a din of Mechusareva. So the Gemara talks there about if the blood circulation stopped in a permanent fashion, so that organ is dead, that's called Mechusareva, even though the organ is still attached. If you have gangrene sets in a finger or in an arm or in a leg, that organ will start to decay, I think, to the same extent, the same speed that it would decay when the person is completely dead. When the organ is dead, it starts to decay. So that's a dead organ. So Moshe says the definition of life, alive and dead, is blood circulation. There are many makaris in the Gemara, many makaris in Pesuk and Chumash. Ein lo dam, yesh lo dam. Ababa Machter says, ein lo dam. So the Vilna Gaon likes the pshat of the Ben Ezra. It's considered as if he doesn't have blood circulating in his system. The Yesh L'damim is considered as if his blood is circulating. Definition of being alive and dead is whether the blood is circulation, not the breathing. The breathing is a similar dover. Similar dover. So that's what the Maritz Chayis quotes from the Mora Nebuchim, who writes, he quotes Galen. Galen was what? A Roman doctor? I think a Roman doctor. So the Rambam was a doctor. So the Rambam read Galen. So he quotes that Galen records an incident that a person stopped breathing for 3 days, and then after 3 days he came back to life and he was okay. So that's what the Maritz Chayis says. How can you bury the person? The government is right. Maybe we made a mistake. Yeah, Galen. The Rambam quotes Galen that happened that the person wasn't breathing for 3 days. So the Chassam Sofer respond, what are you, crazy? That was one case out of 5 million is going to happen like that. That's not a normal thing. The Chevra Kaddisha's tradition is from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. A normal person who stops breathing because of 15, 20 minutes, the Odua that is dead. But the breathing is a similar Dova. That's not the definition of life and death. He said, that's an Asmachta, he says. The definition of life and death, that's what Moshe says. The definition of life and death has to do with blood circulation. A lot more to say. Okay, very good. Everyone is invited to come this Shabbos. The speaker is a very entertaining fellow, David Lichtenstein, a very brilliant fellow. He knows how to learn a lot. He's very successful in the business. He gives good musa too. Okay. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.